Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is February 18th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by going to motorvitality.com, listening to all the archives, or subscribing to whatever podcast application you use. So, but we definitely appreciate a couple of you on here this morning. We were talking right before we started recording that usually listen, that are on live. So I love having you guys here. It becomes part of the discussion as when you listen to these, they can sometimes turn into the Kelly talks the entire half hour sessions. And that was never the intent. I wanted it to be a discussion where we can kind of talk. There is sometimes a delay, so it feels like you're interrupting or whatever. Please don't worry about that. With the delay when we're talking, if you have something you want to say, hop in there and say it. And this is supposed to be a forum where we can all kind of learn from each other. With that in mind, I want to start the call off the way I do every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that is worthy of, or anything you learned that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with, any questions you have.
Kelly, I deal if nobody else does.
Go ahead, please.
I just wanted to officially announce that on March 11th, and I apologize, I don't remember what time it is, but on Thursday, March 11th, myself and Dale with Data Man Dale and Kim Redden with WQA and WQRF, which is the Water Quality Research Foundation, the three of us will be presenting different studies that the Water Quality Research Foundation has put together and how you can use it in marketing and sales in the home. So mark your calendars, March 11th. I have posted it on our Facebook page, my Facebook page, and also in the Water Treatment Pros, and they'll give you what time it is. But we've had a lot of fun putting this together, and there is going to be a ton of useful information in there. So everybody is welcome to join. Information will be on our pages.
For some of you that are not aware of what some of those studies are, some of the ones that I have used over the last, decade, definitely, the septic system study is huge. For years when I came into the, after I came into the industry, the septic system people always accused the water treatment people of ruining the septic systems and voiding a warranty, and the water treatment people say, well, no, it's not going to do that. In fact, it doesn't seem to have any harm at all. They actually did a study, the WQRF did a study in conjunction with the septic system industry and pulled out some very objective and honest data, which is just really valuable stuff. There's also the impact on water heaters and how much longer they lasted with soft water. I mean, there's just been a really great studies. I'm actually on a WQRF task force right now that is completing. I'm not allowed to say exactly what it is because they don't release those things until they come out. But it's really cool, some of the extensive way they go in and do this research. This particular one that I'm working on is being done in a lab at Purdue University in West Lafayette, Indiana. And it's really cool with some great relevant information. And so to be able to take that information and learn how to utilize it in your, in your everyday life is going to be really valuable. So Jen, I will definitely be there, and I hope everybody else is as well. So nice. Very good. What else? Anybody have anything else? All right, so let's jump into our topic today then. Okay, so when I say, and for some of you that are familiar with my training or, my philosophy on this may have the answer, but when I say the word canvas, when Jen and I are interviewing new sales professionals, they always ask, you know, they'll tell us about the past experience where they went and canvassed an area, or they, you know, they'll ask us if we do canvassing. You know, when I say canvas to you guys, the word canvas, when I talk about that in the sales context, what comes to mind? What do you associate canvassing with?
Yeah, I hear that. I think of door-to-door, whether it's door hangers or, you know, even nowadays door-to-door sales, knocking on doors, new neighborhoods, stuff like that.
That's what they call canvassing. And I agree. I agree with you on that one. What about anybody else? Is that what comes to everybody's mind when I say canvas? I think that's probably the most common one. And in fact, I think that's what they're asking when, you know, when I'm conducting an interview and they ask if we have any canvassing, or if I'm doing training, then, and I talk about canvassing, I can see people, I can see many of the people in the audience, you know, their faces change because the door-to-door, I mean, so look, some people, let me first off give my stance on door-to-door so that everybody understands. And some of you may know this, we've talked about this before, but door-to-door, I don't think there's anything unethical about it, okay? I think that for a lot of people, some people might even like it. I know that when I'm sitting at home with my family or relaxing, I don't like it when a salesperson knocks on my door. I don't even like it when the census people came, you know, they to ask me who lives there. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's something about it that is, that creates for me, even though I'm in sales and I understand, I appreciate that the courage it takes to walk up to somebody's house. I appreciate the tenacity it takes to stay with a job like that. And the fact is, you can calculate your numbers and therefore your income on that way pretty easily. I mean, you can do the math. You knock on 100 doors, you get four people give them a presentation, and maybe you sell two of those, right? And so if you want to make 10 sales, then you know that you need to knock on 500 doors, right? You know, and that's, and so you can do the math pretty easily that way. What I always think gets ignored when it comes to door-to-door sales is the fact that in that scenario that I just gave, 96% of the people, depending on how you calculate it, 96 or 98% of the people that you talked to rejected you, told you no. And I know that some people, they don't take that personally, except that I'm kind of convinced, and I might be wrong about this, this is totally my opinion, but I'm kind of convinced that that sales philosophy, that type of sales, is why salespeople that have been doing that type of sales or some form of it, why they tend to be, one of the reasons they tend to be so unhealthy. You know, they tend to be heavy drinkers and a lot of smoking and divorce and gambling, and you know, and that's obviously not in every case, but I just believe that the toxicity that can come from that kind of constant rejection, from that overwhelming constant rejection, I think it sucks something out of you, you know. So that's just my own maybe strange, you know, wacko opinion. But I'm not opposed. I don't think there's anything unethical as long as you're following the local rules and you have the licenses and you're doing what, you know, all that, you know, you're following the rules. But there's nothing unethical about door-to-door. In fact, I've known plenty of people that have been highly successful and made a lot of money doing it. So, you know, I myself have done it in the past, you know, and so, you know, as when I was much younger. So when I talk canvassing, though, it's important that we kind of define what I mean by canvas. And what I mean by canvas, well, let me first ask, what do you guys thought? Is there anybody that has a differing opinion on the door-to-door thing on that? I'm interested in a different side or a different take or what your thoughts are on my little dissertation there.
Kelly, I think
no,
that,
oh,
go ahead.
Sorry. No, I agree with Kelly. Yeah, I've seen, you know, kind of demographic what you're mentioning, as well as a lot of younger, you know, kids out of college or something that are, it's all commission based and, you know, it's a sales job for them. So, yeah.
Jim, what were you going to
do? Do we have Brianna on the call?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi. Okay. So I have to say, Kelly, I had kind of the same philosophy thoughts that you did, or that you have, on door-to-door until I started working with Brianna. And Brianna has a background from a cable company where that's what he did. And he has been very successful. And, of course, it has its ups and its downs, especially when, you know, we got, what, 10 inches of snow the other day, and, you know, it's been bitter cold. And so, I mean, it does have its ups and downs. But his main focus in the company is to create his own business. And this is kind of segueing into our topic today is, he happened to come into the water treatment industry during COVID. And so creating those relationships that we'll talk about here in a few minutes wasn't as easy. And so I think that if it is done tactfully and you say the wording properly, I think you can be very successful. And it also has to do with your market. He's looking at the new home construction, which fortunately has been amazing here in Michigan, in his area. So he's able to get in with different, you know, once you're in with one or two in the neighborhood, then all the neighbors seem to follow. And but he's been very successful with it. I don't know, Brianna, would you know off the top of your head, like your percentage of how many doors you knock on and how many end up in sales?
The number of doors I knock on and the number of sales is a simple answer, is not enough.
Right. I love it's your numbering system, and you guys can hear his goals.
it's just a numbers game, and the subdivisions around here, they have hard water, but it's not dangerous. There's no iron. There's no arsenic. It's all community well. But fortunately, there's a lot of people moving from areas that are used to the city water, and they really don't understand. They hear the word community water, and they think it's just like city water when it's not. So it's just a matter of going down the street and knocking on the doors of everybody who's moved in the last year and just asking a simple question. Hey, you know, I'm Brian with blah, blah, blah. Have you installed your water softener yet? Mm-hmm. And if they say yes, great. Here's my card. Let us know if you want salt delivery. If no, you know, it's wide open for a follow-up question.
Nice.
So a couple things in that, and I do want to come back to that because I want to, that's where I was going definitely is how we're going. So, Brianna, I'm really glad you're on the call, and I'm going to come back to you in a second, okay? First off, in case there's people here that don't know the difference between municipal water and a community well, or community water, as Brianna is mentioning, community water is – basically, it's when a lot of times they'll build a development and have one pump house from a well, but that one well supplies all of the homes in that area. So it does become a community water supply, a public water supply. So it does have to meet the minimum drinking water requirements as set forth by the Safe Drinking Water Act. But often they are not going to be at the level because they don't have the finances to be able to treat it. You know, for at the level that a larger municipality might. But okay, so when we so hang on just a second, Brianna, I'm going to come back to you on that topic. But when we talk about when I talk about canvassing, the word canvas, the way I sort of approach that is by I think about a you know, a pallet. Let's say it's a pallet of stuff that's 9 by 9 foot wide. Okay. If I am going to throw a canvas over the top of that item on that 9 by 9 foot wide pallet, okay, I'm going to need, when I think about canvas, I think about covering that entire thing. So how big of a canvas do I need on that? How big of one do I need? I need one that's going to cover the entire thing, right? I'm going to have to be able to not only cover the entire thing, but even kind of overlap a little bit if I'm going to completely canvas or cover that entire object. So when I think about the word canvas, I'm thinking about what I need to do to make sure that every piece of my territory is covered. So some of you may or may not have official protected territories. You know, you may just have an area that you kind of work in. Okay. Breon was talking about his territory. So what Breon is doing out there, and this is what I did when I was in sales, and we've trained many people to do this, to have a protected territory. I believe very strongly that it's better to have a little territory, to work a little territory a lot, rather than to have a lot of territory and work it a little. Okay, and that's because you, in order to completely cover that territory or canvas that entire territory, you have to have the time to spend to get to know every nook and cranny, every single part of it. You've got to get ingrained in the community. You've got to go out there. So the topic that we wanted to talk about today was how you do that in a COVID world. And I wanted to kind of set the stage for what that is first. So Breon, what you're kind of talking about is what I did, much of what I did. I never really called that door to door, except it sounds like you are going. I mean, one of the issues that I think, one of the challenges that you run into versus when I was in sales, most of the time when I was in sales, I also had some new construction there, but I would start trying to get out and talk to the homeowners sometimes before they even broke ground. I mean, there were multiple times that I'd go to a house, I'd pull the building permits from the, you know, it's public information. You can find out where they're building and where the houses are, and I map them out, and I'd start visiting those home sites, those new construction home sites early at the very beginning. And often I would, but sometimes you see a young couple or a, you know, somebody just sort of walking randomly around this piece of grass, this before they've even broken ground. Sometimes it would be staked out, and they're doing what I did with my wife when I built my house, where we went out to the property and it's staked out, and we're going, this is going to be the bedroom in 6 months. This is going to be where the kids are going to sleep. To get a picture of that. We're excited. We're super excited. Obviously not in the market to buy water treatment at that time, but really super excited about what's going to be happening over the next 6 months. And so I would go out there and develop those relationships early and maintain and build on those relationships through the course of them building the house, so that when it came time for them to put the water system in, I already had, you know, they knew who I was. They knew who they were going to use. It was almost a kind of a done deal. For you, it sounds like you're working with in the subdivisions that you're working on, there's a lot of spec houses, right? Where the houses have been done. It's not the homeowners custom building their own homes. These are builders that are putting up several homes in a development as a spec house. They're completed in many cases, and people move in, and it's really, you can't go out 6 months in advance and talk to a homeowner because they don't have a homeowner yet, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a mixed bag. People come into the model home, and then there are a lot of spec homes available, though they do have an option of ordering one, you know, the way that they want.
Yeah.
One thing that's helped me is that once the home is getting close to completion, I go in there during a weekday, and the contractors are all in and out of the houses finishing up the houses, you know, a few weeks prior to actual closing, and the doors are open. So I just, you know, I walk in with a brochure, and I don't linger, but I just say hi, walk in, and I go over to the kitchen and find the kitchen drawer where all the manuals are for the dishwasher and the garbage disposals and all that, and I throw in one of my brochures with all the house documents.
So I actually used to put that brochure in the dishwasher where they would sometimes leave the other stuff. So at the same time, when you walk into a house that's almost done like that, because usually when you open the dishwasher, there is the manual sometimes will be in the dishwasher still.
Yeah,
you know, it'll be
in the dishwasher.
Because I remember when I built my house. Now I did that drawer where all the stuff goes. Those of you that have not built a house or have been in a lot of new homes, there is always a drawer like that. Before they put the cabinets in, there's usually a windowsill or something where all the stuff goes. You know, it gets stacked on a windowsill in one place in the home, so you can leave things there. But once they put the cabinets in, there's always a drawer. There's always a drawer where every owner's manual, every piece of information about the house, everything goes in that drawer. And I don't know how most people do it, but when I built my house, it was actually pretty fun to read the stuff, to go through and actually read the stuff. It was kind of exciting. You know, I just moved into this big house and sat down and did go through and read that stuff. But there's a lot of stuff there. And so I never wanted to compete with it. And I never had a problem with, like, putting the brochure right in the dishwasher because the brochure I used talked about hard water and appliances. And I would put it right in there so that I made sure it stood out amongst the other stuff. Another thing I did when you're putting that, instead of just a brochure, I had especially when there were competitors that I knew were coming through and doing the same thing, and they would see my brochure and throw my brochure away and leave theirs. I have 9x6 envelopes, the brown envelopes that I ran through my printer that said important information, leave for homeowner. And I would, with a square, it was, looked like it was stamped or printed on there. And then that's where I would put the brochure inside that as well, so that it was not easily identifiable by, the only person that's going to open that envelope is going to be the homeowner at that point. It's not going to be a competitor who's going to take mine and throw it away. But so you're kind of setting the stage for some of that. So on the spec houses, just to sort of reiterate, let's talk about how you're doing that differently in a COVID world, Breon. Obviously you're masked. What kinds of things when you're knocking on the door, what kinds of things are you doing to make that homeowner feel more comfortable? Are you giving them distance? I mean, because you're a big guy. I mean, for those of you that don't know, I mean, Breon's tall. He's not mousy. not that mousy is bad, but I can think, when somebody, you open the door and there's this big tall guy standing on the doorstep, what kinds of things do you, or have you ever really given any thought to what you do to make them comfortable in that instance?
I have. I mean, it helps that I'm really handsome, and handsome people get away with stuff like that.
And humble.
And there were bigger, uglier, more intimidating guys than me who I learned from when I first started in this. But what it is I do not walk up the door with any literature in my hand. It's in my back pocket and a business card in my front pocket if I have a jacket on. And the only thing in my hand is my mask because I want them to see my face. But I knock on the door, and even before COVID, I knock on the door and I step back off the porch. I do not crowd the door. And they open the door, and then it's just into the same thing I've said a million other times, introduce myself and why I'm there. And if I'm invited,
and you're not doing
home,
crazy weather, right? You're not. See, when you have those kinds of approaches, whether you're doing that or even just you're walking up to somebody at a construction site and you're talking to them, this is something, and maybe you'll agree with me on this. I figure you have about 3 sentences. I mean, when you walk up, especially like on a construction site, and you're talking to the builder or the homeowner potentially, they identify you either as a salesperson or an inspector. Those are the two things. So when you walk up, I figured you have about three sentences to say to them before you lose their interest and they move on to what they were doing before you interrupted them. And so if you waste one or two of those sentences on nice weather, isn't it? Or, wow, looks like it's gonna really snow today. If you waste the one of your sentences on that, now you have to really make your next two really good. Would you agree with that? You get right to the point, straight to the point. Would you agree?
Yeah, if I try not to ask yes and no questions, but just the initial, have you got your water softener yet? Like it's anticipated.
Yes, something.
You're supposed to have a water softener, you know? And usually get one of three responses. One is like, yeah, I've been thinking about that. And that's a great opening. Or the other response is yeah, I already got one, you know, and those are really brief. And the third one is kind of a sigh and an eye roll because I think they know it's inevitable, but usually it turns out that whoever answered the door, the other person in the house has been bugging them about getting one.
Exactly. Yep, exactly. Uh-huh. Okay, so we have about 4 minutes left here. Let me give a couple. For those of you that are not that do not have a lot of new construction in your area or who just are not into the door-to-door thing, let me throw a couple other suggestions out there for really canvassing or working your territory in, you know, at any time, but especially now. Okay. Social networking group. Any one of these topics we could spend an entire call on. But Facebook groups. People are online right now more than they have ever been. And if you can get in, you know, if you have one of these customers in one of these developments somewhere, they all have their community Facebook group. Get involved there and don't make it salesy, but get involved and monitor and watch and become a resource for them. Okay? Get involved in the community. Many of these community service groups right now it's easier than ever to get involved with them because they're all meeting virtually. You know, so if you get involved and, you know, find out when they are, go attend these meetings, get to know them, participate. Okay? You're developing relationships. Remember, in a community that you're taking from, meaning you're out there in sales and you're taking, you get way more when you give way more. Okay? So if you're in a community, they're just, you know, and as a salesperson and you're taking from this community, don't forget to give back to the community. These people are feeding your family. So get out there and get involved and really, you know, get to know them there. New construction definitely was on my list of things to talk about. Right now, everybody's going to be vaccinated by July. But people are building, they're pulling permits for homes right now. Okay, it takes about 6 months sometimes, sometimes less, sometimes more, to build a house. Right now, they're pulling permits for those homes. In a month or so, they're going to be breaking ground. And they are excited. They're out there. If you aren't aware of what homes are going to be ready to be moved into in June or July or August of this year, now is the time to go out there and start prepping for that, to get out there, pull those permits, find out where they're at, find out who a building permit is, will tell you a ton of information about the homeowner. Some places have different ones, but that's all as part of the Freedom of Information Act. You can get that. It's your local building department. They will have it for you. Pull those permits, find out where they are, and begin to build those relationships now. You know, when you can, it's going to guarantee you're going to have sales when it comes, you know, when things start to wake back up. It's going to be kind of too late when things wake back up. So those are just a couple suggestions. Jen, do you have anything to add, or Corey, if you're on? I haven't heard you this morning.
Well, all I have to say is he talked about people, the big burly guys that trained him, and if I remember correctly, I was his trainer. So that kind of bothers me a little.
The big burly, much uglier people that train? Thanks, Breon.
No. Well, this is going back to 2007, 2008.
Okay. But we could, the list could go on and on, building relationships with, you know, appliance doctors, and I mean, we could do a whole nother call on people other than canvassing type of situations, but yeah, there's so many other opportunities out there. Don't be afraid to go out and create your own business, even during COVID. Just keep your distance, wear your mask, and it makes everybody else feel comfortable.
Yep. Anybody else have any final thoughts?
Yeah, one thing I would just like to mention, because it's worked for me and I think it would work for other people, is if you have any past or current customers, a yard sign,
yes.
I think doubling down on, you know, if you're doing door hangers door to door, then they see that sign. I think that's a huge value.
Huge yard signs, especially, you know, if you're in an area where they allow them, you know, some places have ordinances against them and everything. But yes, yard signs are more effective than people really imagine. I mean, they're absolutely noticed. So for sure.
I need to make one quick suggestion on yard signs. If you are putting yard signs out and you're required to pull a permit for your water treatment, make sure you have water, because
yes.
That's something I've heard more than one company has run into recently, is that their yard sign's out and the inspector knocks on the door and says, hey, did you pull a permit? So
yeah.
Now
good
in
point.
Some areas, it's or some of the companies we're working with, it's mandatory to pull a permit, and then there's no questions asked.
Yep. All right, guys. Thank you, everybody, so much. Great conversation. It actually flew by. Breon, I know you weren't really prepped to talk a lot on this, and you were very helpful, and I appreciate it as always. So thanks, everybody. Be safe. We will talk to you next week, if not before. Okay? So thanks.
Take
Bye.
Care.